always try to get into the Spirit in such a way that I'll have plenty of time to break down what the Spirit brings out, that you might understand it. Because like I said, sometimes it takes me hours to understand it. And if I get up here and just run right through it, then you're not going to understand it. So I've spent over 10 years in the Word of the Lord, and many, many hours, sometimes 7 or 8 hours a day waiting on God. And if it takes me for hours to understand it, I know that if I try to give it to you, that you're not going to understand it in 30 or 40 minutes. So then it takes scripture after scripture to confirm it, to make sure it is God. The minister has to wait to make sure it is God, to try the spirits. And then when he comes to you, he might come to you and relate two or three passages of scripture, or he might relate to you something that the Spirit told him during the day, but that still won't be quickened to your spirit. What he has to do is get under that special anointing. Amen. And let that gift that God has set in the church begin to speak. And that's why I come when I get up here after God has talked with me. Now today he's talked with me about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and still the book's just as closed as those doors are back there. It's just that closed to me tonight. I don't know a thing in the world about it. And it takes God's anointing to bring it out. And that's why that we always try to get in as early as we can. One thing is this, that your minds, your spirit. Now God doesn't get in a hurry. You know that, don't you? God would stay here all night long, and then all day tomorrow and all day the next day, but you're not going to do it. Your spirits get tired and weary. They work all day on a job and labor at material things, and they're just worn out like Esau. The Bible said Esau came in from the field, and the Bible said that he was faint. His spirit was faint because he'd been laboring in the field. How many of you tonight know what it means to labor in the field? When you speak of laboring in the field, what does that mean? Laboring in the field. In the Bible, the spiritual revelation of field is world. That is, Esau had been enjoying the things of the world, and when he come around where Jacob was, the one that was waiting on the birthright, he didn't have any energy to enjoy those things. Well, that's the way the people of the world are. They come around where God's blessings are, and they've labored so fervently for the things of the world, and they've been so interested in the things of the world until they don't have any energy in their spirit anymore to labor for the things of God. And in so doing, they sell their birthright to their other brother, which is always waiting at the portals of God to find the spiritual revelation of Christ. That's the thing we want. These things in this world will pass away. They're good while we've got them here as far as use. But they're all temporal. You can have the finest automobile, but it'll pass away. You can have the finest home, but it'll burn up one day. You can have the best wife there is in the world, but one day she'll leave you. One day God will separate you. And you can have the best children there is, but someday you'll give those children up, for in heaven they are neither married nor given in marriage, but they are as the angels. And so it is that the thing that we need is the birthright that God wants to give to us tonight. And the thing that you and I should labor for is to be able to get a hold to that birthright.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. So tonight, if we come in late into the service and we get started late, and then we get started late on the message, then the people get weary before you even get into the message good, and you cannot preach to spirits when spirits have already left. Did you know your body can be here, but your spirit can go somewhere else? How many knows that's Bible? Paul said, though I be absent with you in body, yet am I present with you in spirit. I can have your bodies here, and your spirit can be eating chicken over at your house. I can have your bodies here, and your spirit can be asleep somewhere over on the bed, or be out on the riverbank fishing, or be out trying to polish in your car. But what we need to do is to remember that God is a spirit, and the Bible said he's the Father of spirits, and Paul said, the God whom I serve with my spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why we try to sing, you know, and get everybody's spirit. Singing will take the spirit because it's something that's mellow and precious. And when everybody's tired, it just drives away the evil spirits. When David would play on his harp, it would drive away the evil spirits. He'd play on his harp and Saul would be spiritually oppressed, demon oppression. And when David would play on the harp, then the presence of the Lord would come around, because God is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. And he would come around, and Satan couldn't stay there. Darkness can't stay where light comes. And that darkness would just vanish away, and Saul would feel refreshed. Have you ever noticed that when you come to the house of God, you can be all cast down, but just as quick as that music starts, then the Bible said the refreshing of whereby the weary might rest, it just moves in among the people, and they began to feel lifted up in the spirit. That's God's way of doing things. God and God alone can do it. So then Esau's spirit was very faint because he had spent all of his time in the field. The thing we need to do is to get out of Egypt and go off somewhere and worship God. Every time the children of Israel decided that they'd push away from Egypt and the things of the world to worship God, Pharaoh said, what about giving you a new living room suit? You could double up, work a few extra hours, and you could trade your old car in and have a better one. I'm talking about the Pharaoh of today. It was type shadows and allegories in that day. But today, it's not garlic and onions, but it's the things that are material goods that's in this world. He'll bind you tighter and tighter when you start out of Egypt. He don't want you to leave Egypt. Praise the name of the Lord. Now then, I want to read just a little bit of scripture and see if we can talk with you just a little bit tonight. I don't know where we can get into what I wanted to or not. It'll be up to the Lord as to whether he'll let us do that or not. It depends on the drawing of the Spirit. How many of you know that the little woman who was a type of the church drawed the virtue out of the body of Christ? The Bible said if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. A lot of us don't have any virtue because we don't think on the right things. We should think on things with virtue. It's virtue that heals people. The woman needed healing, and she drawed the virtue. The Bible tells us that if we make straight paths for ourselves, that the lame wouldn't be turned aside, but the Bible said it would be healed. Why? Because we would become virtuous, and we draw a lot of virtue, and we pray for people, and people would get healed. So the thing we need is virtue, and the only way you can get it out of the body of Christ, Paul said, whose members ye are, then you've got to draw it out by faith, and by hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Praise the Lord. We've got to make ourselves available. Somebody has. And then you draw that from that member of that body. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go over to the book of Revelation first. I read just a little bit here. I'm kind of scattered on the reading. Reading in the 21st chapter of Revelation. I might not preach so very loud tonight because I'm a little husky in my voice. Let's read from the 21st chapter of Revelation, 7th verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I want you to notice this. It said, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I remember reading this down in Brother Brown's services and talking about the city of God. But tonight we want to talk about the bride, which is different from that part of it, even though it all ties in together. As Brother Brown said, Jesus, the Word, is just one big revelation. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I got a revelation, but that isn't true. What it is, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to Jesus, John said, to reveal to his servants. The only revelation we got is the revelation of the revelation. In other words, he earned it. He worked for it. He labored for it, that his bride might have the bread of life. He labored among the thorns and among the thistles, just as Adam did, that his spiritual bride might have the bread of life and be able to survive in the time of famine. Adam in the garden, the Bible teaches, there with Eve, he was secure as long as he was in the garden. He was well and healthy, and the bride was well and healthy. But according to the Bible, when the bride began to reject the Word of God, then God drove the bride out. How many of you know tonight that the woman is responsible for the sin that is in the world? Did you know the Bible said the man was not found in the transgression, but the woman being found in the transgression, she shall be saved in childbearing. Now you might say, Brother Pike, why is it that the man didn't sin just like the woman? Well, the reason is because the man is the type of the Lord Jesus, and you know that it was the bride that sinned and not Jesus. So then Adam could not have sinned because he was likened unto Christ, who was called the second man Adam. So then while they were in the garden, according to the Bible, everything was well with them. And God gave him his plan and gave him his blessings and told him, said, multiply and replenish the earth. But according to the Bible, Adam, even though he was willing to obey God, yet he followed after Eve, which was his bride, because he loved her so much. He was willing to leave the presence of the garden and the beauty of the garden to follow Eve. In other words, just like Jesus, he was willing to leave the things of heaven and willing to come down from the garden of glory to walk in this world with you and I, that he might redeem the bride, not willing to stay in glory and enjoy the presence of the great things of God and the bride be shut out, but he loved us so much he wanted to share his blessings with the bride. Isn't that wonderful? He loved us so much. If you men would love your wives like that, you'd never lose her. He loved so much that he was willing to give up glory and to come down for a season and find that bride, adorn that bride with the wedding garment, and take her back into the glory world. That's a wonderful thought tonight, as you can get the picture of it. Now then, the Bible said the Word of God came unto Adam, and the Word of God came unto Eve. And the Bible said God spoke to them and told them, just as he's told us today, the just shall live by faith. And that if they'd walk upright before him, they could stay in the garden. They could have the blessings of God. Then we find in the Old Testament, when he spoke of Satan, how many of you know that Satan was also among those that was in the garden? He looked at Satan over there in the Old Testament, speaking of him. And he said, you have walked up and down among the stones of fire. He said, you've seen the beauty of them. He said, that because you lifted up yourself, he said, thou shalt be cast down to hell. How many of you know tonight that we're the stones of fire? There's only one kind of stone in this world that's got fire in it. That's a jewel. That's a jewel. And the Bible said, I'll remember you when I come to make up my jewels. When John looked and saw the beautiful city coming down from out of heaven, he said, behold, it's the bride. And it was beautiful jewels. It was walls of great and beautiful jewels. It had fire within them. And God said, Satan, he said, thou wast in the garden. And he said, you walked up and down amidst those stones of fire. He said, you saw the beauty of them and said, you yourself was a great and a beautiful tree. He said, but you lifted yourself up above the trees of the garden and said, I shall cast thee down to hell. Satan was in that garden. Did you know that? Did you know that when the sons of God In the book of Job, it says when they come to present themselves before God, the Bible said, Satan, come also. Did you know John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? Did you know that we're here tonight presenting ourselves before God? Did you know that Satan is here tonight too? He has to come and give an account too. Has these sons of God come before God? And they say, Lord, deal with me and teach me. Satan also come. He's walking up and down among the stones of fire. He sees the beauty and the splendor of them. But he's cut off from that world and he can never get back into that garden because he betrayed Christ. He betrayed mankind. He betrayed everything that was good and turned to those things that tend to bring corruption. Bible said that God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. And there we see the picture. If you can visualize it tonight as we search for the mind of Christ, there we can see the picture as Eve is driven out of the garden. Why? Because she listened to what the serpent had to say. The devil working through that beast. And according to the Bible, as the spiritual power come through that beast, then it went through that beast to get to woman. It went through woman to get to man. And the closest it could get to God was in man. A woman doesn't really portray the bride of Christ, but it takes a man. Because man is made for God, but woman is made for man. Woman is your bride, but man is God's bride. Did you know that? God created man for his bride, and he created woman for your bride. That's according to the Bible. Then the Bible teaches that Eve was driven out as the bride of Adam, and Adam followed her, and as he went out into the world, what did he have to do? Labor by the sweat of his brow to bring forth bread that he might sustain that bride and those children that she had brought forth. And so it was. If you can see the picture, when God got ready to give Adam that bride, what did he do? He laid Adam down and he began to perform an operation on his side. He reached into the side of Adam and he came out of the side of Adam with a beautiful bride that was called Eve. But for that bride to come out, he had to put that body to sleep. That body of Adam had to go through those hours of darkness that he might be able to bring forth the bride. Isn't that true? So then according to the Bible, when the Lord Jesus came into the world and he came as the bride of Almighty God, or he came as the Son of Almighty God to bring forth the bride as the second man Adam, when he hung there on the cross and they put that cut place in his side and the blood and the water came out for the covering of your sins and for the baptism and his death, and we see the bride being born from out of the side of Jesus. Coming out of the cleft of the rock, as he said to Moses. He said, Moses, you can overhear. And he said, when I pass by, he said, the glory of God shall come by, and I'll place you in the cleft of the rock, and then I'll just pass on by, and you can see my glory. And so it is the rock, Christ Jesus. They cut the place at his side and said to the bride, we'll hide you in the cleft of the rock while the glory of God passes by, and you can see the beauty of Almighty God. And according to the Bible, there came the Spirit, there came the water, there came the blood, and the church was born. A bride was born. But just as Adam had to lay there and go through the hours of darkness, so it was with Jesus. The dark night of death began to come over him. God began to perform the operation. Now he went down to the heart of the earth and he laid there 3 days and a half. Why? Going through that dark, dismal hours of operation that bride might be born. Can you see it tonight? God took a world, and out of that world he reached and he got the Jew nation, and he said, thou art mine. And then he reached into that Jew nation, and he got Jesus out, and he said, thou art mine. And then he reached into the body of Christ, and he come out with the Spirit of Christ, and he said, thou art mine. Can you see that tonight? He took the Jews from the Gentile world and he made them a special people. He took Jesus out of the Jews and he made him a special person. And he took that Spirit out of the body of Jesus to place in your heart and mind that it might be the bride of Christ. Even though it's a different picture when you get it in spiritual allegories. Coming out of the world comes the Jew nation. coming out of the Jew comes Jesus Christ. Coming out of Jesus Christ comes children. Can you see that? Let's go back a little further. Take Noah. God reached and got Noah out of a world of people. And then he reached in Noah and he got Abraham. And then he reached in Abraham and he got Isaac. And he reached in Isaac and he got Jacob and Esau and started two nations with him. And so it was with Jesus. He reached in there and he got that Jew nation. He reached in there and he got Jesus. And he reached in there and he got the Spirit. And when he come out, what did he have? He had a natural Jew nation. And he had a spiritual Jew nation. And now then, let's see if we can see it tonight. As you look back here and you see him get Noah. And you see him get Abraham out of Noah. And you see him get Isaac out of Abraham. Who was Isaac? He was the son of the promise. But remember, the Bible said that Abraham had two brides. He had a Hagar, who was the bondswoman, and he had Sarah, who was the free woman. And according to the Bible, Hagar brought forth the son that was called Ishmael. But he wasn't a son of promise. But then when Sarah brought forth her son, the Bible said she brought forth Isaac, who was the seed or the son of the promise. Hallelujah. Can you see the picture tonight? According to the Bible, finally when Isaac come along, then Jacob and Esau was born. And out of Jacob, there come forth 12 beautiful tribes that spread over all the earth. But what did Esau do? The Bible said when Esau came forth, instead of going to his father's kindred and taking a bride, he went way back yonder and he took that son of Abraham that was by the bondswoman and he married her. And he had joined hands with that and he began to create a nation of Ishmaelites. And the battle today, as we see it, the battle today between the Ishmaelites and the Jews is still the same. One says the Holy Land belongs to us. The Canaan land belongs to us. Abraham was our father. But what does the seed say? They said belongs to us. And they're having war right now over the Holy Land over it. Why? Because the Ishmaelites say Abraham was our father. The Canaan land's ours. But the promise was unto the son of faith. It was unto that child of faith. But if you'll notice this now, as Hagar was of the bondswoman, not only was she a type of Jerusalem that's in bondage with the seed under laws and traditions, but the real allegory is that she was a type of this world with her children under bondage unto sin and corruption. Hagar was a type of God, one of God's brides, for God created the world just like he created heaven. But Sarah was the mother of us all, the Bible said, for she was a type of heaven with her children of liberty and the children of the Spirit and the children of freedom. And then the Bible said that Esau went back. Instead of marrying into that heavenly tribe, the Bible said he went back out into the world and he took that a daughter of Ishmael. Can you see that tonight? Went back there and took that daughter of Ishmael instead of going down into the land of his kindred and really getting a bride. Let's analyze it a little more and see if we can get a picture of it tonight. The world, Hannah, Sarah, heaven, Sarah with her free children, Sarah with her free children, the world with children of bondage, Jacob went down to the land of Laban and got Rachel and got him a heavenly bride, a type and a shadow of a heavenly bride. And then the Bible said Esau, instead of doing that, he went up here and there the son of Abraham, which was Ishmael, born to the world, the worldly people. Now then, can you get the picture? As Jesus hung down the cross, he brought forth two nations just like Isaac did. Isaac being a type of Christ, he brought forth a spiritual nation, a spiritual Jew, and he brought forth a natural nation, which was a natural Jew. And what happened? The spiritual nation went right on, and according to the Bible, there was 12 apostles that sprang up, and 12 tribes sprang out from the 12 apostles, 12 tribes to fill all the earth, making up that spiritual nation, just like it sprang out from Jacob, a 12 tribes making up the natural nation. What happened to that natural nation? They went right straight on through into the Canaan. Canaan land. What happened to the spiritual nation? They're going through to the Canaan land. But what happened to that natural Jew? He went right back out yonder and married who? He married the daughter of the son of Ishmael. He married into the world. He got back into the world out there. That's what the natural Jew has done today. But that spiritual Jew didn't do that. That spiritual Jew, like Jacob, said, I want the birthright. For if I have the birthright, I'll have the inheritance of my father. One day he's going to give me all of the inheritance. But that natural Jew was like Esau, said, we'll go back out there in the world. We remember that the world belongs to God. And we remember the world was his bride like Hagar was. And we remember that there's good things out there in the world. And we'll go back out there in the world. So Esau went back to that place that was worldly. Went back to that woman that was worldly. And took that daughter of that son that was called Ishmael. Wound up in bondage. And so it is with the people of this world today. Up there out yonder in bondage. Now then let's go a little further. And see if we can see it on spiritual terms. According to the Bible. One day the whole world was Catholic. The entire world was Catholic. The Roman powers dominated the world. What did God do? He looked down from out of heaven still searching for a bride. Still looking for a bride. So he looked down from out of heaven and he saw that Catholic church. Everything Catholic. He just reached right into the Catholic church and he come out with a Protestant. And he reached right into the Protestant. And he come out with a Pentecostal. And he reached right into the Pentecostal. And he come out with a elect. And what happened? Then the elect will begin to bring forth two nations just like Jesus did. Just like Isaac did. That elect began to bring forth two nations just like Eve did up there in the garden. Eve began to bring forth two nations. She brought forth the nation of Cain, which was corrupt. She brought forth the nation of Seth, which replaced the seed of Abel, which was a holy and a righteous nation. And so it is with elect. They are the bride. Jesus was the bride of the Heavenly Father. Isaac was symbolic of the bride. The elect is the bride. What happens out of the seed or teaching to that elect? There's two kinds of nations come forth. Did you know the good person is born in the church and also the bad person? Did you know that? Did you know you can look around and you can find bad people that profess Christianity just like you can a good ones? Did you know that one day the whole world will belong to the church? Did you know that? There'll just be, Daniel said there was four powers. I see that I'm going to have to hurry here. But Daniel said there was four powers over the earth. They kept striving. Let's see if we can just get a peep into his vision. Bible said he looked and out of the waters, he began to see some beasts rise up on the surface of the earth. And he said he looked and saw the great body of waters. And he said four winds were striving over the waters. The winds were coming together. The east wind, the north wind, the west wind, the south wind. They began to strive with each other, wrestle with each other. Four powers wrestling over the water. Bible tells us that waters are a symbol of people. It's a symbol of nations. And we find out that wind is a symbol of power. It's a symbol of powers. And God portrayed men as beasts. Why? Because they were of the beast. Their origin was of the beast. And they carry the beast's nature. They do those things that's likened to the beast. I've made the statement in preaching the message on the mark of the beast. Look at them around you. When you see the football teams, what do they name them? When you see the basketball teams, when you see the clubs that they have, like the Elks Club and the Moose Club and the Lions and all those things, the beast nature. Sit around the television and they'll drink in the lust and they'll act like a bunch of beasts. When they go to eat, they have no control of their appetites. Act like a bunch of beasts. What is it? It's the beast nature. I remember one time I was talking to God. I said, Lord, why is it that these people insist that they come from the beast? I said, I don't understand that. And God answered back and said, because they did. I said, why do I insist that I didn't come from a beast? He said, because you're a son of God. Amen. We come from God, but they come from the beast, and they act like it. Daniel saw these beasts out there. Try to connect this in with the message tonight on the bride. He saw those beasts out there, and he began to see those ruling powers. Now I asked God, I said, God, what was those powers? And this is the answer, and I believe it's right. I believe it's right. I believe there's a power of Christianity. I believe that's one of the winds that was wrestling over those waters. One of the powers that was trying to get control of the people of the world. Do you believe that Christianity is trying to get control of the people of the world? Do you believe the Spirit of Christ is trying to get control of the people of the world today? I believe that other power was Catholicism. Do you believe Catholicism is trying to do it? I believe it is. I believe that other power was Christianity, Catholicism, and communism. Do you believe communism is trying to do it? I believe it is, and there's one other power. I believe that capitalism is trying to do it too. I believe every one of those four powers, and if you'll notice, every one of them starts with a C. Communism, Christianity, Catholicism, and capitalism. All four powers trying to dominate the world. Christianity wants control of it. Communism wants control of it. Catholicism wants control of it. And America, as capitalism, wants control of it. Wrestling over the waters. Wrestling over the waters. But I thank God tonight that we are free from those things. We are free from those powers. We are free because we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Though we might be among the waters that the powers are wrestling over, yet we are the bride of Christ, and we're not entangled in the things of this world. I was over in Memphis a few weeks ago, and was talking about the indebtedness of a Christian, and some man wanted to excuse himself from indebtedness. The Bible said not to owe any man anything. And we're supposed to try to pay our debts. We're poor folks, but we're supposed to try to pay our debts. And he kept trying to excuse himself. And I finally got around and said, well, if I don't make a debt, what about taxes? What about electrical bills and different things like that that they force on you, a lot of those things? He said, what about that? I said, according to the teachings of the Bible, when they come to Jesus over there, he asked them whose inscription it was that was on the money. And they said, it's Caesar's. He said, then are the children free. Brother, when a debt's imposed on us that's not of God and we don't make it, Jesus says we are free of that indebtedness because they have no right to impose it on us. But he said, nevertheless, to keep from offending them, let's do what we can to take care of our just and honest debts. So then, the whole world will be religious. That one power, those powers wrestling over the water, that one power of Catholicism someday is going to get control. It's going to dominate the earth. And you know what's going to happen when it does? When that power gets control, then God's going to begin to let the powers of Satan work through that beast. That Catholic Church is that beast. That's that beast in the garden in allegories that the demon powers come through to get to the bride. Just as that satanic power come to the beast through the beast to be able to get to Eve and corrupt Eve, so does Satan seek to come through that Catholic Church and get to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they've been trying to do. You might say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Then tell me, why is it that in the church today we know that the Jesus name people are the bride of Christ? We know that they're the bride of Christ. There's no trial that don't take the name of a husband. We know that the Jesus name people are the true bride. But what does the bride have to do? The bride labors and the bride carols and she brings forth the children. And then the beast comes right in. And what happened? What happened? Finally, we get doctrines and dogmas and disciplines, all that mixed into the church or where the true bride is. And what do we come out with? We come out with Assemblies of God. We come out with Church of God. We come out with Baptists and we come out with Methodists. All that you say, well, Brother Pike, all of those people are going to heaven. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Praise the name of the Lord. Said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And I'd say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Wasn't the Jews cut off? Wasn't they cast into outer darkness? That was one nation. What happened to the other nation? They went right on into the teaching of the 12 apostles and set up a Jesus name church. Didn't they do it? That's what the Bible said. What happened when they got the church set up? When the bride really got herself set up, what happened? Then the Roman powers come in, and just as quick as she could, she killed out the apostles, took over the perfect church, and began to place the corrupt seed within it. And what happened? Instead of one kind of children coming forth, just Jesus' name, we began to get Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians along with the Jesus' name people. Began to bring forth the corrupt seed of Cain. That's what it was. Began to bring forth the seed that wouldn't walk with the word of God. This is God's seed. Every child that's born of its father's seed is like its father. A tree produces after its kind. Everybody that's born of this word of God has the nature of this word of God. This is God's seed right here. If I'm born of the word, born of God's seed, I'll do just exactly like the nature which is this word says to do. Is that right? I'll live right and I'll have the fruits of the Spirit. I'll walk right and I'll talk right. I'll be right everywhere to see me. I'm born of the seed. I'm born of the seed. So then God reached in that Catholic church after she corrupted everything. What happened? Right here in the end time, he began to reach in there. He got that church out of there, which was called Protestantism. But he wasn't satisfied. He reached back in there, and he got something out called Pentecost. And when the Pentecost come out, they begin to get the same idea of the others. So he just reached in and got the elect out of it. Praise the name of the Lord, which is the bride. That's the Jesus name people. He reached in there and got them. But she's bringing forth children. Did you know that? When Zion travailed, she brought forth the children, bringing forth some children. That's what she's doing tonight, bringing forth some children. Let's see if we can take one more peek back in the Old Testament. I'm going to try to hurry here and close out just a little bit. Back here when Jacob and Esau was born in the world, Esau went one way. He went out into the worldly things. Jacob went right straight into the promised land, didn't he? He went right on into the promised land. When Jesus gave forth his over there, his children, then we find the Jews went right into the world, but the church, the true Christian, was filled with his spirit and filled with his nature. They went right on looking for the promised land, or they went right into the promised land, which was the infilling of the Holy Ghost, their spirit being raptured up into the heavenly places. Now this is kind of close, but I want you to listen real close to me and see if you can get it. Remember, your body is composed of flesh, it's composed of blood, and it's composed of spirit. That's about the three major things. And then your words are a production of your spirit, which amounts to being your children. Did you know that? Did you know your flesh is an allegory of the Father, while your blood is an allegory of the Son, the atonement, and your spirit is an allegory of the Holy Ghost? Did you know that? And your words that you speak, they bring forth somebody as a child unto you. You make a disciple according to your words, according to your speakings. That's spiritually speaking. I wish we could get a little deeper into that tonight and show you the real deepness of the spirit in it and show you actually what did happen in the garden when it comes right down to the spiritual thing. But anyway, let's stick to the natural thing enough to where you can perceive it. God can give it to you. So then, when we see the elect standing there, then the elect's job is to do what? Bring forth children. What did Isaac and Rebecca do? They brought forth children. What did Jesus do? He travailed and brought forth children. What does the real elect of God do? They travail and they bring forth children. All right, you say, Brother Pike, what do they bring forth? They bring forth Baptists. They bring forth Methodists. They bring forth Presbyterians. Have you ever noticed that in your own immediate family, sometimes you bring forth a sick child. You bring forth an afflicted child. Sometimes you bring forth a demon-possessed child. Have you ever noticed that? The mother might be good, but it comes forth anyway. You might say, well, why, Brother Pike? I am the God that visits the iniquities of the fathers down upon the children of the third and the fourth generation. It's the iniquity of the fathers that causes us to come out in the elect seed. That's what it is. It isn't that the elect's bad. It isn't that God hasn't purified the bride, but all of it comes out of the same womb. That's what it is. Both seeds, the devil working through the beast, the Catholic Church, places its seed in the true church. That's what it does. It places its seed in there, and we come up with dogmas and ideas and opinions and theology and people that go to seminary to try to preach the Word of God. But then Jesus Christ reaches the fivefold ministry. Remember this, the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors is the head to that body until Jesus comes. They act as the head. Did you know that? The fivefold ministry acts as Jesus Christ himself for the perfecting of the saints. There's fivefold ministry, which is the five senses, and the five senses are centered right around the head. Isn't that right? The five senses are right around the head, showing that fivefold ministry is the head to that body until the Lord Jesus Christ appears in his fullness. That's the head. So then while Christ, through the fivefold ministry, places his seed in the church by the teachings, just like I'm doing tonight, that it not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father from within you. Then while he's placing his seed there, trying to bring forth a church to Jesus' name and perfection, a people that's called by his name, that he can bring healing and so forth to, then I'll tell the world the devil's working through the Catholic Church and the Catholic doctrine to bring forth a corrupt child. You say, Brother Pike, what's going to happen? What happened back in the Old Testament? The Ishmaelites and the Edomites and all them, they gave trouble. They caused Jacob trouble and his people trouble all the way to the Canaan land, didn't they? Jacob's seed had to go down into Egypt, had to go through the wilderness, but it got to the Canaan land, didn't it? And so it is today. The true seed of the elect that comes forth from the fivefold ministry, they're going down into Egypt for a spell. They're going down into the wilderness for a spell. But, brother, they're coming into the promises of God as sure as I stand behind the sacred desk tonight. They're coming to the Canaan land of God. That's where they're heading. Coming to those thousands and thousands of promises that's in this Bible to be made effect in the body. We are close to the coming of Jesus tonight. Let me say this and try to close. Listen, I've made the statement a lot of times trying to show the nearness of the resurrection. When the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, what did God do? He separated that spirit from the body, didn't he? He took the body and he laid it down the earth. Didn't he do that? Separation of Jew and Gentile. Separation of spirit and body. Separation of Protestant and Catholic. Can you see it all? All of it? Can you see it tonight? Separation of God's spirit from Jesus' body. What was it? It showed the death. It showed the separation of heaven and earth. It showed the death of them that were in the earth. It showed that they'd been cut off from life, just like Jesus' body was and laid down in the grave. But did he leave it like that? Did he leave it like that? There was a time when somebody began to pray and say, "Oh God, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." What did he do? Then according to the Bible, when that prayer began to come forth, he sent the kingdom of God down into the earth. He began to join that body of Jesus back with that spirit of life. He began to join earth back with heaven. He began to join your body back with that spirit that he'd taken out of you and translated into the kingdom of God. Give me just a few more minutes here, and I promise you I'll try to close out. What does it mean when that body was separated from that spirit as he hung there on the cross? The Bible said the temple was rent in two or twain. This temple, he said, raise it up in 3 days. Said, "I'll raise it up in 3 days." It was rent in twain. Is that right? It was rent in two. What happened? God took that body, because the body was dead, he took that body and he took it to heaven and he set it on his right hand. But what did he do with the spirit of that body? Can somebody tell me? The Bible said it went where? Into the heart of the earth. That's where we are. Into the heart of the earth to preach to my soul that was in prison, that had been in prison ever since I fell from the garden, and to take my soul out of prison and put it in the kingdom of God by putting the kingdom of God within me. Is that right? Tonight we've got his spirit in us. We've got God's spirit inside of us tonight. The body's back here in heaven somewhere, setting up there. God raised it up. Why, you say, Brother Pike, why did he take the spirit out of Jesus' body? Because he wanted to live in that body. Amen. He wanted to live in that body. What is the Holy Ghost? It's God's spirit and Jesus' spirit combined. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Jesus is the Son. God the Spirit is the Father. But when you get Jesus' spirit together and God's spirit, you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got the spirit of truth. That's what we got tonight. That's what we got tonight. We are filled with that spirit. Listen, people, we are the bride of God. Did you know that? Amen. We are. I wish I could go on and go on, but I can't. I thank God tonight that we've got this much in tonight. But remember this, Jacob wanted the birthright. Jacob wanted the birthright. Esau's spirit was faint. Why? Because he'd messed with the world. But Jacob's spirit was not faint. He had sat right there close to the pottage all the time. That's right, he was strong, ready to fight the battle of faith. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The bride. John, he said, come up in the spirit. Why? He said, I want you to look at the bride. People tonight, he's saying to you and I, come up in the spirit. Why? I want to show you my bride. Can you see his bride tonight? Are you in the spirit enough to see his bride tonight? Can you see her? She's a beautiful thing. Oh, she's a beautiful thing tonight. Nothing like her. A beautiful thing. Come up in the spirit, John. I want to show you the bride. Praise the name of the Lord. While Dale plays at the piano, I want you to gather, stand with him tonight and gather around the altar that we can have just a closing word of prayer tonight. And I've tried other night, I prayed for the sick. Last night we gathered around the altar. And God bless us. I felt such a freedom in the spirit last night as we just assemble ourselves just for a few minutes around the altar. Now then tonight, let's gather around the altar while she's playing on the piano and stand here just for a few minutes of meditation. Close eyes and say, God, quicken if this be the words of truth tonight. Then God, if this be your spirit tonight, if it really be the power of your wisdom tonight, coming through your gift tonight, then Lord, quicken into our heart, open our mind of understanding, elevate us up into the spirit. Let us take a few minutes to be holy, cause the end is near at hand. The end is near at hand. Now I want to say this, while you're standing around here just for a few minutes, the end is near at hand. If the Lord took the spirit out of the body of Jesus and the body died, that is the body without the spirit is dead. And if he separated the Jew from the Gentile, and the Jew was a type of the body, the Jew died without the spirit, which was the spiritual Jew. And if he separated heaven from earth, and the earth died without the spirit of God and having eternal life. And if he separated your spirit from your body by translating your spirit into the kingdom of God, then your body died by being buried in baptism with Jesus Christ through the resurrection. If every man that ever lost his spirit in death was taken and placed in a graveyard, then that means that everything is dead. Everything is dead without God's life. When the night comes and the sun withdraws, everything goes to sleep, doesn't it? Is that right? The great light shall rule the day, the lesser light shall rule the night. God is the great light into which no man can approach. When the night came, everything went to sleep. Why? Death set in. That's what night is an allegory of. Death set in. So then when the night came, everything went to sleep. What was left? There was wandering stars left that had no light. And there was the moon that was only a reflector of the heavenly light, which was a type of the church to give light. For ye are the light of the world. But there was two stars, which is called little suns, that have their own light. They have their own light. Now then, listen real close. The world tonight is after the church. The devil is. You might say, why? Because if he can get the church, as long as he's got the bride perverted, and as long as he's got the bride away from the Heavenly Father, Jesus cannot come back into this world, and he can live eternally. But if the bride ever slips away and God raptures up into the spirit as he's doing right now, two in the field, that's the world, one taken up, raptured up in the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I've chosen you out of this world, the other left, then if he can slip the bride away, then the devil's in for trouble because he'll burn with fire. But if you'll notice, the devil's after the church. What is it the world is after? They're after the moon. The man that gets the moon will conquer the world. The man that gets the moon will have control of the world. The man that gets the church will control the world. The Catholic, if they ever get all the people in the church, they'll control the world. They can start war. They can stop war because they'll have a voice of power. All they have to do is speak one thing and the whole world will obey it. They'll be a king. So then they're reaching after the moon. How close is the end time? That's what I'm trying to show you tonight. How close is the end time? They say by 1970 they'll reach it. By 1970, they say that they'll have a worldwide connection as far as sending messages into any either part of the world. That's also an allegory of the gospel going into all the earth. They say they'll have interstate highways reaching all across the earth, which is also an allegory of the highways to glory and connecting the body of Christ together. They're reaching out to the moon. Why? Because the moon is a type of the church, and in natural allegories, it shows that Satan is reaching through the Catholic Church after the true church. The true church.